thing.
Glad. Those are the best ones.
Yeah. Well, maybe, maybe not. Probably get myself in trouble, but I don't. I can't do anything about that. I want to start off by saying, listen, I'm not, you know, attacking anybody. And, man, I highly respect these folks. But again, I think there's a learning experience, something, you know, we can learn from. And we ought to learn to apply, and we ought to question things and say, you know, is this, you know, what it says? Brother Dale alluded to it and talking about organization of, you know, work we've long prayed for. And, well, I can't think of anybody I love anymore than the work there in Ireland. And I sent a lot of you a report of that came out that the pastor there issued about what had transpired. And I think there's some things maybe we can learn about it and apply and think. And again, I'm not attacking these brethren. I love them dearly. I'm not saying they're heretics. I'm sure there's a lot of things I don't understand. And sometimes I'm thankful kind of we're here and we're not real close and in close fellowship. And, you know, we can follow what we think the book says and not worry about fitting in with somebody and say, well, you're just, well, you know, all our churches are like that. Where is there our churches kind of thing in the scripture? You know, there's the local church and we learn and that's what the Lord brings us to. And as we try to learn in the light of the scripture, number one, and in the light of those who went before us and that God's used, and to say, well, this is what our kind of churches do, you know. And it, I think there's the tendency there to you know, kind of follow along to, so you'd be accepted and so forth. So I want to touch on some of these things. And, you know, it may not make everybody happy, but regardless. Brother wrote, many thanks to those who prayed for me as I traveled for the organization of our mission work there and to a true New Testament congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in the scriptures, I don't find Paul or anybody going and starting a mission. They say our mission work. But Paul went forth and started churches. And I love the brother there in Ireland so much so, you know, my heart ached for him sometimes. And some of the folks that were there with him, they were like, well, you know, we've been baptized and here we all are. We can't observe the Lord's Supper, you know, because, you know, we've been baptized and we're members of a church, you know, thousands of miles away. And I guess they're all members of that church that's thousands of miles away, but they can't observe the Lord's Supper. And, you know, I've even read of some brother Settlemyer alludes to it in his book on Landmarkism Under Fire. That some pastors actually will go someplace, and I don't know that happened here, but they'll come and they'll preach, and they'll say, I pronounce you a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like, do I have the power to do that? You know, how much less is that than the priest? You know, he can turn bread into the body of Christ. And it's like, okay, so this preacher, I pronounce you a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Historically, the Baptists have held that a church is a body of baptized believers covenanted together to carry out the commands of Christ. I mean, when you had a body of baptized believers over there, they could covenant together to carry out the commands of Christ. Well, yes, it's nice, you know, for others to recognize it and for others to want to be a part of blessing that and so forth. And I'm not detracting from that. But brethren, if there's baptized believers, they can covenant together to carry out the commands of Christ. Well, here's what the Lord says in Matthew 18, you know, where he's talking in the context of church discipline. And, of course, all your evangelicals and so forth say the church didn't even exist yet. Well, what's the Lord talking about the church didn't even exist yet? But he's talking here in the context of church discipline, but there's many other points that come out that we can learn. He says, and I'll start in verse 15 of Matthew 18. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, and go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. I mean, obviously, the Lord's church was in existence at this time. It wasn't awaiting the day of Pentecost. And we'll talk about that as well. You know, as the Lord organized that, and as he visibly came down and acknowledged to the world, saying, this is my house in this age. But the church had already been formed. The Lord Jesus Christ had formed his church. And he said, if he neglect to hear thee, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I think, again here, if you look closely at the tenses of the verbs and all here, what the Lord is saying, what you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. As we've talked before, and it's a whole other sermon, the purpose of prayer. It's not to manipulate God and to get our way. It's to align our heart with God's heart. It's to bring our will in alignment with God's will. And the Lord says if you diligently seek that as a church, you'll have God's will. And you can align your will with His will and your desires with His desires. And then He goes on. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. The Lord's all talking here in the context of a church. A body of baptized believers, three baptized believers, two baptized believers can covenant together as a body of Christ. Yeah, it's nice to have other things, and the scriptural baptism has to come from one of the Lord's churches. I mean, I understand all those things. But the things that have developed amongst those who call themselves missionary Baptists today, that's why... Yeah, we have a directory on our site and all. A lot of folks in there would call themselves missionary Baptists. I don't use that terminology because I don't know what that means. I know back in the 1800s there was that split between the missionaries and the primitives, and I'm not sure all the truth was on the missionary side. I'm just saying, you know. And what I see that's developed. You know, some of these things is, so here we have an organizer work. We're going to organize a mission into a New Testament congregation. I don't see that in the scriptures. I don't see that kind of language in the scriptures. I don't see that set forth in the scriptures. And then it goes on about the organizational meeting. And again, I don't find that in scriptures. Some folks say, well, you know, Barnabas went down to Antioch to organize them into a church. That's not what the scriptures say. You know, that's not what it says. You know, they were already a church. Barnabas doesn't go down there and say, y'all don't have authority. I'm bringing you authority. He doesn't do that. The authority comes from there. And I do believe in the succession of the Lord's churches. I believe in the perpetuity of the Lord's churches. And I believe, again, it's been through the body of baptized believers who covenant together. Some folks now, if you don't have a paper trail, and you see some of these things, and again, I kind of threw this together this morning. I could go back and give you more examples. These folks that have these linkages, and some of them, I don't know where they get those things from. They, you know, some of them are almost ridiculous. And some of them, if you start looking at them, there's some skeletons in the closet. And I mean, not just way back. A church is a body of baptized believers covenanted together to carry out the commands of Christ. I don't find anything in the scriptures about essential mother-daughter authority. In fact, I don't see anything about, you know, about mother church and that brings forth daughter churches. Okay, well, it goes on. It says, the services began with a singing and announcing of the purpose to organize the mission work into a true New Testament church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, all these years they've been there, they were a body of baptized believers. They were baptized believers. They could covenant together to be a church of the Lord Jesus Christ and observe the ordinances and partake of the ordinances. And if someone else wanted to have a part of that and bless it, then great. The council of elders, it talks about. Again, I don't see that the council of elders goes and makes a church. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not being fair, but it's almost, it smacks sometimes almost of Romanism to me. know, we got a council of elders. And, you know, they come and says, we read the church constitution, which is a good thing to have. You do. You covenant together to carry out the commands of Christ. If you want to have something written, there's nothing wrong with that. We have adopted John Gill's Goatyard Confession as our confession of faith. You know, and it's back there printed. But it doesn't have to be written out. But there's nothing wrong with that. We read the church covenant, church constitution, church covenant, and the letter of authority from the church to organize the 11 members who were lettered out in good standing. Again, lettered out. You know what I see in Scripture? The only thing I see, and what we've done is we've sent forth folks as letters of recommendation. You know, if somebody's going to leave here and go to a new area, we'll write them a letter of recommendation saying they're a member of in good standing of this church and so forth and so on. I don't see anything. Letters of transfer. I can't find them in Scripture. How could there be a letter of transfer? Are we all part of some big, universal, invisible Baptist church? You know, we say we don't believe in the universal, invisible church, but we kind of act like we believe in a universal, invisible Baptist church. Because, you know, we transfer people. How can you transfer people unless they're all part of some bigger thing? Now, we write a letter of recommendation. We say this person's been a good, faithful member, and we recommend them to you. And we've done that on a couple different occasions. Again, I'm not saying we have a corner on truth, and I'm not saying these brothers' intentions are wrong, but some things have developed amongst missionary Baptists that I think, you know, go beyond the Scriptures. And we want to be careful. Because it leads to a lot of other things. And I can't help in the back of my mind as I'm preparing for, hopefully by the beginning of the year anyway, maybe sooner, I'm going to start preaching Galatians. But, you know, that's what Paul deals with there. You know, you had these Judaism, I'm getting off a little bit, but the folks in Galatia had heard the gospel, had been regenerated, you know, had formed several churches there. And then you got these Judaizers coming and saying, well, that's all well and good, but you need this, you need to add this. You know, it's all well and good that you got faith and all, but you need to add a little bit of the law. You all need to get circumcised, you know, if you want to be true believers. I mean, yeah, faith is good, but that's not enough. No, faith is all, and if you add anything to it, it's not faith anymore. Okay, so I'm sorry, I'm rambling, I guess, but it says so the stateside pastor called the 11 members to order. Which I guess, supposedly they were all members of his church, though he'd never met them before, and they were all, they couldn't partake of the Lord's Supper, never had, but he calls them to order for a brief business meeting in which they voted to organize into a church. Again, why not years ago? A body of baptized believers covenanted together to carry out the commands of Christ. If you look at the New Testament, that's what happened. The pastor at Antioch did not go to all these works that Paul had organized. He didn't go all over Asia and declare these things churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, Paul went and preached and proclaimed. Paul had folks with him. He would stay there long enough, they would organize a church. A body of baptized believers covenanted together to carry out the commands of Christ. Now, we've developed these kind of hierarchies. And I've always said, you've heard me say, our folks, many times, the Roman Catholic Church started as a Baptist mission board. And, you know, that's kind of what the hierarchy started with the best of intentions. So, well, we need to organize a little bit. We need to get a little hierarchy here so we can do things better. Well, I think this is the better way, probably, right here. The Council of Elders agreed to formally recognize the church as a New Testament church and sister church of like faith. Well, someone else would be more important to recognize it as a church. And I'm not attacking them, and I know that they're not saying that. That's not their intent. But I think there's the danger there. There's a danger there, you know, of drifting off into these things. The missionary that had been there prayed the organizational prayer. And now this I do agree with. After preaching, there was a traditional pot providence, which the Arminians would call potluck. But there was a pot providence, and they all ate together. That's a good thing. Well, I thought on some of these things. But I want to touch on a couple other things about that today as well. And because of what I just said today, some brethren would say, well, we don't recognize you as a true church. You believe that. We don't recognize. We won't receive your baptism. It doesn't hurt me. It doesn't bother me. You know what? Most of them, I would still receive their baptisms. I think that, and I would, again, lead you all to do that, or, you know, recommend that you all do that, because it's not me. I'm not the one that decides that anyway. But I would have no problem receiving their baptisms. I think that they have, went beyond the book in some of these areas. Well, I don't think that they're heretics. I don't think they're less than a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some churches that I would recommend we receive their baptism. I would never go there in a million years. I'll touch on a couple things that came to mind as well. A lot of these folks, look, so if you're not King James only, you're not a true church. And so you don't have church authority, so you can't. You can't baptize people. I don't believe that. I couldn't go to a church that wasn't King James. I couldn't sit there and listen to that stuff. You know, I would think, you know, these folks really don't get it. Now, the Lord's preserved His Word, and the Textus Receptus, and the King James Bible is the only reliable translation of that in the English language. I would say, you know, I can't sit here under that, you know. But it doesn't mean they're not a true church. A lot of our Baptist forefathers back in early times in America, they came out with some of these new things. They were kind of brought under the cloud and came out the American Standard Version. They said, "Oh, that sounds like a great idea. It sounds like the Westcott Hort text is what it was." A lot of them kind of followed after some of that. Well, I think they were wrong. Does that mean that they were no longer a true church? No, I don't believe that. A fellow called here the other day. Okay, so. The elements of the Lord's Supper. What business is it of somebody else what this church uses as the elements for the Lord's Supper? But, you know, we use the unfermented fruit of the vine. The only place in the Scriptures it calls it the cup and the fruit of the vine. Doesn't say anything about fermented wine. Oh, I know all the arguments. Believe me, I've read them all. I think they're wrong. But that's fine. Some folks say, well, if you don't use wine for the Lord's Supper, you're not a true church, and you can't baptize folks, we wouldn't receive your baptism. In fact, I knew a church here in Florida that the pastor there believed in using wine, but the church found out that the church that baptized him didn't believe in using wine, and so they fired him. I guess he should have went and got baptized somewhere else. Supposedly, according to them. This whole essential mother-daughter authority thing. It's like, well, if you don't... Listen, the Baptists before this generation, before... I won't mention names, but before a couple different folks, they didn't believe that kind of stuff. You read J.R. Graves. He didn't believe the kind of stuff that a lot of these folks are promoting today. Oh, and you get to the 5 points of Calvinism. Brethren, I'm stronger on them than most any of the other so-called missionary Baptists I know. They would all probably think I'm a hard shell. Hyper-Calvinist hard shell is what they would call me. It doesn't bother me. But brethren, if you don't believe the 5 points, then you can't be a true church, then you can't. I was reading today, and I'll mention one name, I guess. He's passed. But Brother Settlemyer, in his book, and it's on our church website, Landmarkism Under Fire. Brother Settlemyer, in his book, talked a discussion that he had specifically with Brother Cockrell. And Brother Cockrell said he had received his baptism from a NABA church, which became the BNA. And, you know, those folks, none of them were five-pointers. So Brother Cockrell said, well, he received his baptism from a church that was not a five-point church. Joe Wilson turns around and says, if you don't preach the 5 points, then you can't be a true church, and so you can't. Brother, we cut each other's legs off. The Lord is maintaining the perpetuity of his churches, not me. And I can make all these rules up and say, well, you got to believe this, you got to believe that, you know. Pretty soon, I'm the only one that believes that. Who are the only ones? There's truth. But I don't know anybody that's got a corner on it. I think sometimes we kind of get like, Lord, when Job's talking to the Lord, and Job's talking to his detractors, you know, and they all got great advice for him, and they all know everything, and they all know exactly what Job should do. And Job says in Job 12 and verse 2, he says, no doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. You all know it all, you know. You're the people. Wisdom's going to die with you. You know exactly what I should do. You know exactly why I'm having the problems I'm having. I think sometimes, and again, I haven't been off to mission fellowships, and I haven't been off to conferences. I used to preach in one particular conference every year. There's all this stuff going on. I said, maybe I'm wrong, but I didn't need that. And I think sometimes we get the idea, okay, well, you know, we're Landmark Missionary Sovereign Grace Baptist Churches, and, you know, the Lord really needs us, because if it weren't for us, there wouldn't be nothing. And I think the Lord's going to preserve his churches. He has folks, and it's kind of like what came to mind anyway to me when John the Baptist was out there talking to Pharisees. They all kind of thought, well, you know, we're the people. Lord needs us. You know, we're kind of it. John the Baptist in Matthew 3 and verse 7 said this. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meat, for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. You know, you think, well, the Lord's got to use us because we're all that's left. We're the only thing there is. No. No. He could raise up children from them stones. And I believe in the perpetuity of the Lord's churches and the succession of you know, of scriptural baptism and all that. I'm just saying, there's probably folks out there that, you know, that we would want to go to church there, and many other number of things, but not because we say, well, they're not King James. They do or don't use wine. You know, they're not completely they don't completely understand the doctrines of grace. I don't know anybody that does. What I'm just saying there is, and again, you get all these skeletons in the closet. Supposedly, Brother Cockrell, according to Brother Settlemyer, had baptism from a church that wasn't Five Point. And, well, then, I guess that disavows all that stuff. Or else, what about, you know, the church I used to go and preach at all the time, a very prominent Missionary Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. Had a conference, still has a conference every year. Well, at the time, I don't know what they do now, they didn't use wine either. So I'm sure a lot of folks would cut them off. But they were considered, they were, quote, the mother church of, I mean, they were one of the oldest churches in Kentucky. And they were the mother church of all these churches around there. Well, what about those churches? If you start, you know, cutting the line that way. And then I find out as I'm researching, I had an old copy of their church history, which they've since republished and I think modified, but the old copy of their church history tells the story, the church there split. It split between the Missionary Baptist and the Primitive Baptist. The Primitive Baptists were in the majority. So here the church that's there now was the minority of a split. A lot of folks would say, well, then that can't be a true church. Because they were the minority of a split. In fact, they ended up taking the primitives to court. to where, and the court made them also be able to use the facilities. And the time came, they had to put a new roof on the church, and they couldn't agree about that, so the roof was half shingles and half tin. Truly, I can show it to you. Maybe not in their new history, but I got a copy of their old history. And beyond that, the pastor that they list in their lineage, you know, those lineages that go back, you know, forever. The pastor that most of the churches in those they have those lineages, they have the Welsh Tract Church in there. You know, the Welsh Tract Church is today, and essentially always has been, a primitive Baptist church. And this church that split, the pastor they have as part of their lineage went with the primitives. So then they just got to put a new pastor in their lineage. But this fellow that had split, he's in their lineage too. I understand folks disagree and things happen, but to go around saying we're going to, you know, unchurch people, cut their legs off, all this. Brethren, we end up unchurching ourselves. That's what happens. And they all eventually end up doing that. Now, yeah, there's some very clear things in the Scripture. A church is a body of baptized believers covenanted together to carry out the commands of Christ. Listen, if a church does not proclaim the gospel, I'm not saying they completely understand it, but they salvation by grace, that's not a true church. If a church does not exercise discipline about baptism, a church starts receiving alien baptism. It starts receiving maybe immersion from Methodists, or immersion from the Church of Christ. Okay, immersion by those organizations, they're not true churches, so it can't be baptism. Now you start adding those folks to that church, and you say, well, a church is a body of baptized, wait a minute, oh, they're not a body of baptized believers anymore. See, they're no longer a church. A lot of so-called Baptist churches today, you know, they'll receive baptism from all kinds of things because they want to add people. Some of them will even receive, you know, sprinkling or anything. They don't much care because they want to. Well, they cease at that point, at some point in there anyway, to be a church because they're not a body of baptized believers covenanted together to carry out the commands of Christ. But we want to be careful about adding all these other things to it and say, well, a church is a body of baptized believers covenanted together to carry out the commands of Christ, you know, that use the King James Bible, and that they use wine, and that believe in essential mother-daughter authority, and that believe in all five of the points, and so forth and so on. Because, again, I've already said, I would not be satisfied with myself if I believed in the 5 points the way most of these so-called missionary Baptists do. Because I believe in the absolute sovereignty of God. I believe in the absolute predestination of all things. I don't believe in gospel regeneration. I believe it's all of God. So anyway. Well, then, one more. So when I'm at seminary, and I'd come to some different views, and the Lord had been teaching me some things, and He's still teaching me some things. And I'd kind of been, the Lord had used Tabernacle Baptist and Brother Bynum, who's went to be with the Lord. And he had a missionary up there in Minnesota. So they're looking for somebody to take over that work, so they want me to come up there and preach anyway. So I go up there and preach, and, well, the Lord hadn't really brought me completely to the doctrines of grace yet, you know. Maybe I was a 4 point, I don't know, at that time. I didn't know any better. Well, they say, we want you, but not them doctrines. And besides, you know, if we do take you, you're going to have to get baptized again because you didn't get baptism from a 5-point church. Subsequently, years later, we're supporting one of the missionaries from that church. And we have him listed in our directory. the pastor of that church writes to me and says, we don't believe those doctrines and we never did. The 5 points. He writes me and tells me that, and yet a different missionary than the one that was up there in Minnesota we were supporting, he was mad at him for having anything to do with us. He's the one that called me that man down in Florida. And so he said they never believed those things. And yet here's this missionary out of his church that was telling me I needed to get rebaptized because I was baptized in a church that didn't believe all those things. Well, so was he. In fact, I went back and looked at it a little bit later. Brother Bynum was baptized by J. Frank Norris. I don't know if you know who he was, but he was a very interesting character. Brother Bynum was baptized by J. Frank Norris, and this missionary that said, well, I needed to get baptized again, was baptized by Brother Bynum. Jack Hall was baptized by J. Frank Norris, and I was baptized by Jack Hall. And I don't know there was any difference in what, you know, he believed and what Bynum believed. But somehow, you know, I wasn't going to be good enough unless I got baptized all over again. And then, if every time I learned more truth, I had to get baptized again, I'd be drowned. Yes, there are some very important requirements, you know. A church, you have to be baptized, you know, it has to be immersion, it has to be believer's baptism. You know, it has to be for the right purpose. It has to be in the right authority. A New Testament church. But brethren, we start defining a New Testament church into, well, it ain't nobody but us. Well, you've basically denied the Lord's perpetuity of His churches. Well, maybe I was kind of confused and off the cuff and convoluted this morning, but I thought it was appropriate to address that in the light of, you know, the organizational meeting last week, and I rejoice in that. Like, you know, I'm just so happy that they've organized into a church, and that they, and man, I love Brother Ellis, and you know, I appreciate him, and I hope we can continue to help and encourage them and support them. But I don't understand some of those things. And I've talked with some of the missionaries about these kind of things, and some of them essentially acknowledge that I'm right. But, you know, that's not the way that business is done in missionary Baptist churches, and so if you're going to keep getting, you know, you just kind of got to go along. I've never been real good at that, obviously. And maybe I should be better at that. I don't know. But I thought it was appropriate to address that. In fact, in light of what happened last week and in light of what we're looking here about the place of the Lord's choosing. You know, there was a pattern to the tabernacle, as I told the boys. And it was important that Moses do it exactly the way the Lord said to do it. But what if Moses said, you know, well, I'm going to add a little bit more just to make sure, you know. It's kind of like the Pharisees that built the wall around the law. And they said, well, we're going to build this wall around the law because you're not supposed to do that. We're going to say you're not supposed to do this and you're not supposed to do that so that you don't even get close to God. And that's not a bad principle as a person, individually. But pretty soon, that wall you built around the law, that becomes the law. Pretty soon, that is the law. And then you build another wall out there and you just add and add and add, and then it becomes more and more and more the law. And that's the same kind of thing when we eventually get over in Galatians. What Paul was dealing with there with the saints in Galatia. Paul had preached the gospel of free grace. Paul had preached freedom in Christ. And the Judaizers come back and say, well, that's all well and good, but you've got to add this other stuff to it. And again, we're as careful as the church that sent me forth down here in Florida. It wasn't 5 points. And I hadn't received my baptism there, but and they wouldn't have called themselves Landmarker, I don't think. No, they wouldn't have. But they were more Landmarker than most churches I know that call themselves Landmark. And they were more careful about receiving people's baptism than churches. They sit down and they counsel people and they had them give their testimonies and I've seen Landmark churches. In fact, we had the case here in Florida. Well, one dear brother, he was fired from the church because the church found out his wife had received the Arminian Baptist.
RGC?
No, what do they call themselves?
Free Will.
Free Will Baptist. Thank you, brother. They found out his wife had received Free Will Baptist baptism. Well, I happen to agree with them. I don't think Free Will Baptists, you know, really, because they preach losing your salvation. Their gospel is not really the gospel. But they had received him as the pastor and received her into the membership, and this came out later when they were making a church directory and they were doing a biography on everybody. Well, they found out that she had had Free Will Baptist baptism, and they said, yes, you're right. She should be baptized. They said, no, that's not good enough. They fired him. So, but they were the ones who received them into their membership. You see? So what you may call yourself, landmarker or this, unless you investigate baptisms, unless you exercise care in these things, you cannot assure that you're a body of baptized believers covenanted together to carry out the commands of Christ. Well, I could go on and on and on, you know. And again, none of us are perfect. I'm the most imperfect of them all. A lot of times I wish y'all could have a better pastor. But, you know, just what you got. For now, anyway. And I just think we need to be careful. And we need to be careful that we don't become, you know, like the Pharisees and build all these our laws, not the ones that are in the book, our laws. And if you don't follow them, you're not part of us, you know. Again, that never bothered me much. So fine, they said they're not part of us. We won't receive his baptism. Okay, I really don't. And if some time comes and you all have to go someplace else and whatever, and they say you need to be baptized, most of you I think would say, okay, you know, if that's what you think, then fine. Okay. And say, well, they're not going to receive my baptism. I'm not going to receive their baptism. How stupid is that? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to play those games. Not that we have a big, you know, board coming in to... But, okay. I probably just added confusion and stirred the pot, but I wanted to just talk a little bit about those things. And again, I couldn't be happier for the work there in Ireland and what they've got going forward. And I just pray the Lord's blessing on them, and maybe we'll learn some things from them as well. Okay, let's take our hymnals this morning. Turn to page number 16. Lord, speak to me. We'll stand as we sing this out this morning. Number 16, Lord, speak to me.
Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone as thou.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege to gather together as your people. Father, we thank you that you gave us directions. That you gave us instructions on how to live our lives. How your church ought to go forth. And I pray, Lord, that you help us to discern those things and to be faithful in carrying them out. Father, we readily admit our lack of understanding. Father, we just pray that you teach us. Father, we do pray that you be with Brother Ellis and the work there in Ireland. We thank you that they've organized. They go forth now as one of your churches. Father, I pray your hand upon those that need healing. To be your will that you would raise them up. Pray, Lord, for those we know that know not you. Lord, we know we can't open eyes and hearts. We pray, Father, if it be your will that you would undertake to do that. Father, we thank you for that love that spanned eternity. It was shed upon your people even before they were. Lord, we thank you for the everlasting covenant. Lord, we thank you for the atoning death of our Savior. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.